Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. This is Monday morning. This is game day morning, Monday Night Football tonight. Steelers at Bengals, Paul Brown Stadium. I can almost hear Hank Jr.
Are you ready for some football?
Are you ready?
They're not using that anymore, but I am.
I certainly hope the Steelers are a little bit more ready for some football this Monday night than they were last Sunday. In prepping for this game, previewing this game, let's each take a look at some of the things that we think will be significant in terms of determining this outcome. I'll go first. Blocking Geno Atkins. That to me is certainly an obvious thing that the Steelers need to get done tonight. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember the Cleveland Browns when they had a guy in the middle of their defensive line named Michael Dean Perry, similar in stature, similar in playing style, very quick, disruptive, penetrating kind of guy. And the Steelers were never able to beat the Browns until they learned how to block Michael Dean Perry. And I don't think the Steelers will be able to win tonight unless they figure out a way to get Geno Atkins blocked. You can't run the ball if the guy's penetrating into the backfield, because he usually lines up so close to the middle of the field, right over the center or off the guards. And if you can't block him, the quarterback has a lot of trouble. Especially if he's taking the snaps from under center. So the Steelers, that to me is job one if this offense is going to be able to sustain anything tonight.
Job two might be defending A.J. Green, and I say defending A.J. Green, Labs, because covering him might not be enough. The Bengals throw this guy the ball. 13 targets in the Cincinnati opener at Chicago. He had 9 catches for 162 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had 5 catches and both of his touchdowns and over 100 yards before the second quarter was over. Also, both of Andy Dalton's interceptions came on balls that were thrown for A.J. Green. Did I mention they'll throw it to him whether he's covered or not? They will take their shots, 2 or 3 of them, count on it, deep to A.J. Green. They're coming. It's just a matter of when. And he's good enough, big enough, skilled enough at body position now and getting himself in front of the defender or wherever he needs to be to catch the football. The way to defend the pass to A.J. Green might be to not let it be thrown, and that's going to involve pressure on Andy Dalton. So you maybe got to stop this at the front end because it's tough on the back end.
Sticking with A.J. Green just for a minute, you imagining Ike's going to follow him around?
I am, but I'm imagining he's going to need some help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand that. But
this guy's really good.
Oh, I know that. He's
Megatron, Larry Fitz. Maybe A.J. Green.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the two guys who came out in that same draft went in the first round, A.J. Green, Julio Jones. I'd take this guy. Unfortunately, the Steelers have to play him twice. I'm going to stick with the Steelers' offense. You know, some sort of running game has to be established by Pittsburgh tonight. You know, my personal feeling is that I would start Felix Jones. I don't know why I have this other feeling that Jonathan Dwyer is going to play well tonight. I really don't know why I feel that way. Maybe it's because, you know, he has been a tease, and this would be that. This would continue that tease thing. But whoever it is, the Steelers have to do a little bit of that in order to be able to, and that will help them control not only Geno Atkins, but then the two ends, Michael Johnson and Carlos Dunlap, because, you know, they're a 4-3 front. You have 5 offensive linemen. You got to be figuring, you know, you have one guy plus another guy thinking about or working against Geno Atkins. That leaves everyone else one-on-one. If you're not running the ball, I just think that Ben will be in for a very, very long and painful evening.
I'll stick with my pass defense theme. One of your favorite aspects of football, tackle the catch. And the reason I say this as it relates to the tight ends, Jermaine Gresham and Tyler Eifert, you know, they do a lot of two tight end. These guys can line up in a lot of different spots. You're going to have to locate them first and foremost. But what I noticed in that Bears-Bengals opener is Andy Dalton is not shy about throwing to these guys under the sticks. They don't necessarily run the route all the way to where they have to get because they count on these guys to catch the ball and gain yardage after the catch. And this just in, they're pretty good at it. Jermaine Gresham's a known quantity. Tyler Eifert's a nice player, at least for one game. The Golden Domer was pretty good against the Bears. So I'll give you some more interesting statistics. The two guys were targeted 10 times, five each. They both caught five passes each. And nothing devastating, but drive sustaining, chain moving, need eight here, here's where we go get it type of plays. These guys are a handful.
Yeah, keeping the Bengals offense on the field for an additional three downs that might end up with a deep pass to A.J. Green. I'm going to stay with the Bengals offense a little bit, but look at it from a different viewpoint. The Steelers need some takeaways from Andy Dalton. And rather than focus on the Steelers' defense and how it needs to take the ball away from Andy Dalton, I'm going to throw the put the hat on the Steelers' offense. The Steelers need to score some points tonight in order to force the Bengals to try and do some things to score some points as well. I don't think that the Steelers can allow the Bengals' offense to be as conservative as they allowed the Titans' offense to be because of their own offensive ineptitude. So get on the scoreboard, force the Bengals to have to be aggressive and take some chances offensively, and maybe that's where your takeaways come from.
And I'll give you a little overall picture here. Don't be the team that beats itself. Cincinnati was ahead of Chicago in the fourth quarter last week and driving for another touchdown. Mohamed Sanu caught a pass for a first down to the Bears 17 but fumbled before the play was over. Then the subsequent Bears drive, prior to a fourth and one, Cincinnati had to take timeout because it had 10 guys on the field. After the fourth and one was converted, the Bengals had to take a timeout because they had 12 guys on the field. In the waning moments when the Bears were finally stopped and they were going to have to punt the ball back to give Cincinnati one last gasp at it, Ray Mataluga threw somebody down onto the ground after the play was over, 15 yards, first down, game over. And, oh, yeah, how about this for good clock management? Late in the second quarter, Bengals get the ball at their 12-yard line, buck 43 left before the half. The law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, loses four. Then they decide to throw on second and 14, incomplete, so the Bears save a timeout. Third down they run. Now Chicago uses its third timeout. Punt and personal foul Cincinnati on the punt coverage. That gave the Bears the ball at the Cincinnati 44-yard line with 42 seconds left, and the Bears were able to get a 58-yard field goal at the second quarter gun. The Bengals are very talented. They will do a lot of stuff like that. If they want to beat themselves, Labs, let them.
That'll do it for this edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on the other side of the Monday night game between the Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals.